Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you into Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben, this ninth day of June 2005. Glad you've joined us. It's currently in the upstate about 70 degrees, depending on where you're at, give or take a point. Going to get up into the mid-80s once again with thunderstorms, likely in the morning, and again in the afternoon as the temperature begins to rise in the upstate. So be prepared for that as you make your way out. As some of you experienced yesterday, we had very big downpours that built up towards the afternoon as the heat rose. We could expect more of the same thing today. Lots of thunderstorm activities and probably a rather warm day. Once again, they'll be predicting that will be only in the 80s, and most likely that means it'll be the mid-90s. So we'll have another warm day in store for you again here in the upstate of South Carolina. Well, we wanted to give you the phone numbers for the show initially today. We have two phone numbers you can call today, 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. You can also try the backup line, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Should work real well for you, and we look forward to hearing from you this morning on the show. Also want to encourage you all to take into consideration supporting better this month, the Tyranny Response Network. We're trying to promote our signal and increase it. The Tyranny Response Network wants me to let you know they're trying to find new ways to get the signal improvements projects going forward. Yesterday, they had something installed, some piece of equipment installed that apparently has finally lit up most of Greenville again, but the final benefits to Greenville won't be occurring until later this week or the weekend. You might be able to hear the show better this morning, and that's great news. We're hoping that that's the case, and we'd like to encourage you to continue to support the Tyranny Response Network. This month, there's a special offer that we're giving for those who can contribute $25 or more towards the show. Simply go to the policyofliberty.net website and use the online buttons to contribute to Christian Worldview or to the Tyranny Response Network, and by clicking the PayPal buttons with Visa, MasterCard, or any online service. If you contribute $25 or more, you will receive a signed copy of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. If you're able to contribute $100 or more, you'll be able to also receive, or you will also receive, that book along with the DVD on Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson entitled Warriors of Honor. If you just prefer the old-fashioned way of mailing a check in, you can do so by going to the tyrannyresponse.com website and going to the bottom of the page and finding out what's there available to you. The address of the Tyranny Response Network, and that is 1 P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina. It's right there at the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website. So we encourage you to do so. Thank you again for your support for Christian Worldview and the Tyranny Response Network through your generous giving. This is a listener-supported broadcast, so we bring it up to you, and we're looking forward to producing quality here that will be able to reach more of the upstate and even into the Charleston area at some point. Well, the Tyranny Response Unit had the enjoyable experience yesterday of going to the Atlanta Braves baseball game and doing other things with family and friends. A wonderful time of fellowship and other things that went on there. Watching the Braves lose 8-4 to the to the now Los Angeles Angels. You know how odd that sounds when you also speak Spanish as well as English when you say Los Angeles Angels, which means Los Angeles, Los Angeles, means the Angels. So the Angels, Angels now is what they're called. Used to be the California Angels when I grew up, and then it was the Anaheim Angels for a number of years, and now it's the Angels, Angels. And so for whatever it's worth, that is the name of the team nowadays. So at any rate, you have We had a good time at the baseball game. Unfortunately, because of the length of the game and the necessity to feed children late, we didn't actually roll in till about 3 in the morning. So you can imagine that the Tyranny Response Network is not as sharp this morning as he might usually be. But glad we can try to be here and be as sharp as possible for you here on the Tyranny Response Network this morning. All right, well, we had here an email that came again from Nelson yesterday. Wanted to raise that email because we didn't have a chance to cover it on yesterday's show. Such a good show yesterday. Lots of things going on yesterday's program. Nelson wrote in and said, "Hello again, Doctor. Here is what I was trying to get at on the air. I believe quite seriously that the president is, from a purely clinical standpoint, criminally insane. See if you agree that his official behavior comports with the following definition of paranoid schizophrenia. My fellow listeners can get this information instantly via a simple advanced Google search for the above term, paranoid schizophrenia. Schizophrenia is one of the most damaging of all mental disorders. Causes its victims to lose touch with reality, then begin to hear, see, or feel things that aren't really there, hallucinations, or become convinced of things that simply aren't true, delusions. In the paranoid form of this disorder, they develop delusions of persecution or personal grandeur. The first signs of paranoid schizophrenia usually surface between the ages of 15 and 34. There is no cure, but the disorder can be controlled with medication. Severe attacks may require hospitalization." Did I miss something, or do you exaggerate when you say Bush has revealed a fetish for horses? In any case, other specialists have classified him as something about as bad as a dry drunk. Addiction, brain damage, and the president, dry drunk syndrome, and George W. Bush. Dry drunk is a slang term used by members and supporters of Alcoholics Anonymous and subsistence abuse counselors to describe the recovering alcoholic who is no longer drinking. One who is dry, but whose thinking is clouded. Such an individual is said to be dry, but not truly sober. Such an individual tends to go to extremes. It was when I first noticed the extreme language that colored President Bush's speeches that I began to wonder. First, there were the terms crusade and infinite justice that were later withdrawn. Next came evildoers, axis of evil, and regime change. Terms that have almost become cliches in the mass media. Something about the polarized thinking and the obsessive repetition reminded me many of the recovering alcoholics addicts I treated. A point worth noting is that because of the connection between addiction and stinking thinking, relapse prevention usually consists of work in the cognitive area. Having worked with recovering alcoholics for years, I flinched at the single-mindedness and ego and ethnocentricity of in the president's speeches. At any rate, this is a very interesting article, as we see and comments from Nelson. We appreciate him sending them in this morning. And some people might say, "Well, what are you talking about, this fetish for horses?" Well, a couple days ago, we commented on Chuck Baldwin's remarks, which were picked up from Laura Bush's remarks. I believe it was April 30th at the Washington Press Club or some such thing. Her remarks about her and the staff members going to Chippendales and enjoying some kind of a so-called male review, I believe it was, or some kind of stripping action, and how several of the staffers were quite big partakers of this sort of activity. And in addition to that, President Bush was known as milking male horses, was part of his fetish. And of course, this sort of perversion goes way beyond what Bill Clinton had ever done. I talked to one person who thought this was all some sort of a big joke, that she just made it up, and so forth. Well, you simply don't make up things like this and go into great detail as she did. In my particular opinion, some people think, "Oh, you'll lose credibility at the Tyranny Response Network if this is even mentioned on the air." I'm not clear about that either. Remember, Christ tells us that it's from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, and something must be in Laura Bush's mind for her to bring this up publicly and talk about it so glibly as she did. And I believe that there's probably a lot of more truth than anything else behind this. If you read the story and the way Chuck presented it, sure sounds like they did visit the Chippendales and that George Bush does have some sort of perverted fetishes in his sexual activity. So that's what we're talking about, and we found here that Nelson was commenting on the paranoid schizophrenia of the man, the insanity that he faces, and this dry drunk syndrome. If you'd like to talk about that, we'd be happy to hear from you on the show. We're glad that you're listening to Christian Worldview this morning. We're going to go and take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Dr. John Coben. Oh, I just hear that we just got back on the air. Here, we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. The Tyranny Response Network production staff wanted me to give you another new word this morning. They love pulling out these vocabulary words, and this is actually one I knew that I'm not sure anybody else knew but may not even care to know. It's an economics term. It says oligopsony. Oligopsony is a noun, the market condition where there are few buyers who control the market for a product. So, and monopsony would be when there is one buyer which controls the market for a product. So when you're using your everyday language, try to get it geared up so you can talk about this oligopsony word, or even the monopsony word. The Tyranny Response Network research staff wanted me to pass that beautiful word along to you, FYI. They also have a couple other interesting articles for us to talk about on the show. We have Mr. Joe Follick, writing in the New York Times regional newspapers in Tallahassee. Florida Supreme Court takes up vouchers today, it says, on June 7th. 6 years after Florida lawmakers approved the nation's first statewide voucher program, the legality of the plan was debated on Tuesday before the state Supreme Court. Two lower state courts have ruled that the voucher plan, known as the Opportunity Scholarship Program, violates a section of the state constitution barring the use of public money directly or indirectly in aid of any church, sect, or religious denomination of any sectarian institution. Where I'm having difficulty, said Justice Charles T. Walters, this is the money that is coming dollar for dollar out of the money that would otherwise be for a uniform system of public schools. That is a problem here, Justice Peggy Quince said. Where does the legislature get the authority to have any forms, other forms of education? Where does the legislature, our researcher asks, get any authority to dictate education at all? It's a very good question. They don't get authority from God, that's for sure. It either comes from the devil or the evil hearts of men. What else can we say about the public school system that is, except that it is overrun with the sinful attitudes and actions of human beings, which are perverting justice in the land and turning away the children from not only the faith of their fathers, but the principles of this great land? The public school system is public enemy number one, and here the statists in Florida, at any rate, are having this discussion as if somehow they are in charge of public education. At any rate, the state is paying for religious indoctrination of young children, one of the justices said. They're worried about this down there. Well, anyway, the Supreme Court is taking up the issue of vouchers there, and sadly are showing their true colors. Not that we didn't already know it before in that that great state of Terri Schiavo fame, or however you pronounce her name. At any rate, sad. It's a very, very sad sort of event, the sort of events that go on here in the good old United States of America. Well, what else have we to do this morning except to make a couple of quick announcements? Remember, Joyce sent an email yesterday seeking people to help her staff and attend a very important meeting in the upstate of South Carolina. On Monday, June 13th at 11 o'clock in the morning at Mount Vernon Mills in Malden, and another one at 1:15 p.m. at Hartness International off of Garlington Road in Greenville, South Carolina, there will be a roundtable discussion. May even feature Mr. Bob Inglis, and they'll be there talking about CAFTA. That's the Central America Free Trade Association or area. And CAFTA is just one of these NAFTA-like trade associations that has the word free trade in it, but has nothing to do really with free trade. Remember, if you really want a true free trade, it takes about one sentence to do so. Trade shall be free between countries A, B, C, D, and there will be no tariffs, no regulations or restrictions whatsoever, period. That is the end of the free trade clause, if that's where it really was. But instead, we have pages and pages. In fact, the WTO document, I understand, is some number, outlandish number of pages, like 36,000 pages of information. This CAFTA thing is growing larger. What it's really all about is globalism, socialism, undermining the sovereignty of the United States, and returning authority to other countries, or giving authority to other countries to overshadow what it goes on here in America. And so we need to resoundly oppose these kind of globalist interventionist documents and trade agreements called like CAFTA, NAFTA, and the FTAA. You hear these big terms. At any rate, you can see and hear about this thing at these roundtable discussions, and at least somebody can be there. Joyce would greatly appreciate it. One's at Mount Vernon Mills in Malden, the other one at Heartless International and at Garlington Road at 1:15 p.m. Apparently, she has already called the office and accepted the invitation for somebody to be there, but she simply needs folks to go and show up at one of the meetings. No advanced appointment necessary, apparently. We appreciate Joyce sending in that information. We're glad to broadcast it here on the air as well. A couple announcements before we go on again. It may interest you to know that there's a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. Just a reminder, too, anything you hear on the show and you want to go back and get more information about, it's all contained on the website, tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com. Either one of those pages will give you all the events and related media that are mentioned here on the show. In case you're driving along, didn't have a pencil or pen handy to jot down the information, just go to the website and you'll be able to see us there. Reminder that the call numbers for the show this morning are 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277, or the backup line, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we'd like to welcome you back to the Christian Worldview Show with Dr. John Coben. Glad you're listening this morning, and we have our first caller on the line this morning. We're going to go ahead and try to see if we can successfully get Paul on the air. Paul, are you there this morning? Hello, Paul.
Hello. Good morning, Dr. Coben. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. We're very good. Thanks so much for calling. Now, how's it going today?
It's going. Indian Farm Report is it looks like scattered showers for today, but we'll hang in there anyhow.
Okay, good for you. Well, what's your question for the show today?
Well, I had a comment on the previous caller, Gene. He was calling about wondering if it was immoral not to pay, or we're saying not to pay these taxes that we probably don't own, and go to killing babies,
yeah,
enslaving other people's and stealing many countries' natural resources and generally causing havoc throughout the world. And I'm thinking it's more like a immoral to pay them, especially if you don't know a tax voluntarily contributing to this. It's got to be morally wrong.
Yes, very repugnant. You're referring to the caller yesterday, Jean, who was calling in about this woman, this female cop in Charleston, who decided that she did not owe the income tax and refused to pay it, and she had been brought up on some sort of charges and was going to court. And you're talking about that event, and Jean had called and asked whether or not she was in sin by doing that, and I responded no, that she had one of two reasons why she would be able to say that she was not sinning by her action. One was she was upholding or obeying, she believed, the Constitution said, which is the highest law of the land. The other would be that she didn't believe it was morally right for her to contribute to a system that did so much immoral and evil things, and that she might be able to justify her position that way. Of course, that's a little more tenuous to say that argument, just because Romans 13 situation, the Apostle Paul told them to go ahead and pay some taxes that were they were really going after them for, even though the Roman state would use them for evil. But in her own mind, she probably believes that she does not owe this obligation to pay, and therefore she was going on her way, but doing what she believed was her right and duty as an American. That's the call you're referring to. At any rate, So go ahead. I interrupted you to mention that. Go right ahead, Paul.
No, you said it better than I ever could. Exactly right. There's people don't know even though we're tricked into thinking we are, or maybe even brainwashed, because I remember in grade school they were teaching us how to fill out these tax forms, but they never. You have to have a liability first to owe a tax and. Do some kind of taxable activity, but they never go into that. They never tell you what makes you liable. You just assume you are liable until you have to figure out the tax. So, have to learn what makes you liable, what you're doing to make yourself liable, where you have to be liable. And plus that other factor, if you're, in a republic, which is what we have, or we're supposed to have, they're doing a lot of things with this tax money that violates the fundamental law, violates common sense, violates people's privacy. And there's a lot of reasons not to want to donate any more money to these kind of schools than possible. It just hurts people. And if you don't want to hurt people, if you want to live in peace and freedom, and you want other people to be in peace and freedom, if you learn about the tax, it's a moral dilemma, sure
enough. Let me ask you a question, Paul. I believe this police officer down in Charleston that's involved with all this.
Joyce Middleton, I believe her name is.
Okay, I believe that Joyce Middleton had been following along the ideas of Sherry Peel Jackson and the so-called Larkin Rose or 861 code movement. Can you give us that in a nutshell? What the 861 argument is all about, and what are you familiar with this?
Yes, I'm somewhat not an expert at all, but I tried to in a republic, you're presumed to know the law. On some level, they know you're the sovereign, but only it's a subject of one yourself, but you still presume to know the law and act accordingly. 861 is the code section, and in a nutshell, it explains where you have to be and what you're engaging in to create a liability or to create taxable income. And if you remember, you're not taxed on gross income, you're taxed on taxable income on your 1040 form or whatever, the other forms for the corporation partnerships and all that. And Ethan Logan Rose has been a researcher, although he's not a scholar by training, but I guess he has on-the-job training. And he has an 861.info website, a taxableincome.net website, and it explains the code, what their own laws say. Then you have the regulations, the code regulations of 1.861. And it further explains, it even goes into explaining what's not taxable by fundamental law, and something that many CPAs and many lawyers don't want to, certainly the IRS doesn't want to touch. But it's in the law. The law is written with constitutional mandates in mind. It's just that the bureaucracy that ignores it, and they lie to their own computers, and they generate forms, and again, just create trouble for people who want to enjoy their constitutional privileges and immunities and their rights, their God-given rights.
Well, that's very interesting. I appreciate very much those comments, Paul, and thank you for the call. We're running up pretty close to a break here, but I was going to make one more comment. For listeners who are interested further in the Romans 13 passage, where Paul does tell the Christians to pay taxes to Nero, one thing we have to understand is that Greek verb, that idea there of submission, is in a passive voice. It's a present passive. When what does that mean? It sounds like an oxymoron. It's actually not. A present passive simply means this in practical reality. If you happen to be walking through the gate of the city and some big guy with a gun taps you on the shoulder with a stick and says, pay a tax, It means that you go ahead and pay the tax. It does not mean that you're sitting at home in the comfort of your own internet computer or whatever they had back then, technology-wise.
Yeah.
And they say, I need to scour the code today to find out what other tax I might be looted by or plundered by and pay it. It's not an active present tense. So the idea in Romans 13 for Christians is, look, if these guys are going to sell you, you know, pay them off, because you're here primarily to glorify God and to not be distracted with a lot of this meddling. But by all means, you're not to go out of your way to scour the code and make sure you've fulfilled your so-called tax liability duties. But at any rate, that's an important point for Christians to listen to the show. And we appreciate very much again the call.
And I appreciate the great show and people like O'Reilly and Winbeck. I mean, Rush Limbaugh and Mr. Boyce over here in Atlanta don't ever touch these subjects. You know, they're told not to. They don't want the masses to understand even the property tax. You understand why we're doing to own the property tax. And there's also another very good website, originalintent.org.
Okay.
And it explains the history, legislation history, judicial history of the tax, and it explains what the tax is on. And even if you want, even if you enjoy paying it, I would think you're curious as to what you're doing to make yourself liable for the tax, at least I am.
Well, appreciate the call, Paul. You're welcome to hang on through the break if you've got more you want to add on. Otherwise, be sure to call back another time at Christian Worldview. We're going to go ahead and head to a break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back again to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. Glad you've joined us this morning here on the Tyranny Response Network. Another wonderful day in store in Greenville, currently in the low 70s throughout most of the upstate of South Carolina. And we're going to get up to the high 80s, or the mid-80s, it says. You can translate that to be mid-90s today. Very humid and hot and muggy once again. There's going to be thunderstorms throughout the day, especially in the morning and later again as the heat builds in the afternoon. Of course, yesterday we had a lot of violent storms and a lot of heavy rain. You can expect more of the same today as you make your way out for work. So bear that in mind as you go along your merry way today. Just a reminder that we have the phone lines working today, 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277 or 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We'll appreciate your calling in this morning and look forward to hearing from you. Do you long for a return to the constitutionally limited government originally given to us by our founding fathers, but feel powerless to make it happen? Do you wish there were more people who felt the way you do? Well, ChristianExodus.org is coming to your aid. Our members are a Christian constitutionalist just like you, and we're moving to South Carolina to help you elect godly men who refuse to obey illegal federal court rulings just as Judge Roy Moore did in Alabama. Please join us, join with us, and help move forward Christian constitutionalists and more constitutionalists to South Carolina. Our website address is www.christianexodus.org. Thank you for the work, Dr. Coben, in your efforts in Christian Worldview and on the Tyranny Response Network, and we support you wholeheartedly, Corey Burnell. Thank you, Corey, for those accolades and for letting us or aligning with us and helping us spread the truth here on the Tyranny Response Network. Just a reminder today for you all that we are trying to raise some extra money for the Tyranny Response Network, which is trying to improve the signal. And as you may notice this morning, the signal is even reaching further, or farther, I guess is the right word, than it has in recent days. And it's going to only get better as the weekend comes upon us. But the Tyranny Response Network, being listener-supported, is always in need of financial support. If you're able to contribute $25 or more this month, you'll be receiving a free signed copy of my latest book, Bible and Government Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You'll be able to receive this simply by letting us know your name and address and donating $25 or more. In addition to that, if you're able to donate $100 or more this month, we'll be sending you the video, Warriors of Honor, about the life and heritage of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. So be generous this month. It's really important that we hear from you, just because we need to try to expand our current, or the Tyranny Response Network needs to currently to expand its current signal, and we look forward to hearing from you. You can donate by going to the tyrannyresponse.com or .net website. Scrolling down to the bottom, you'll find the address there of for Tyranny Response Network, P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina. And in addition to that, you'll be able to, you can go to the policyofliberty.net website, where you will find there the PayPal buttons to donate online with your PayPal account or a Visa or a MasterCard. Once again, appreciate the support in this special effort this month at the Tyranny Response Network. Well, holding through the long break, we still have Paul from the Atlanta area on the line, one of our callers who listens via the World Wide Web. And we're glad you've called and listening to the webcast this morning, Paul. Continue on and tell us a little bit more about some of the income tax issues we started discussing before the break, related to this woman in Charleston, the police officer who's going through court proceedings now after deciding that she had no constitutional obligation to pay the income tax.
Yes, I think she may be typical, because I don't know her, but I believe she may be typical of people that have learned what taxable income is and decided that the system is hurting people instead of a pretense of helping the orphans and the homeless and helping unwed mothers and all this. It's doing just the opposite. It's not giving money, take money from the rich. It's giving it to the poor. It's taking it pretty much from the poor and giving it to more with corporate welfare type funding. It's a very complicated issue. Like I said, there's some great websites out there, some great books. There's quite a few people traveling the country that are CPAs and attorneys and they'll be happy to explain the difference between a direct tax and income tax and we had the Civil War over the slavery issue and perhaps the original sin of the country. And it's a great, a very, it's not important. It's not, the famous of the country understood the taxation. The king used taxation to suppress, you know, religion, thought, speech, behavior. And we have totally lost concept of that. We just think we have to pay tax when the street lights work and the sidewalks don't have a crack. But they use taxation for much more than that.
Well, that's an interesting comment, Paul. We appreciate that. You know, we really need to have some more callers who also know about this stuff to call in the program, because this, the whole issue of taxation, especially for, you know, how taxes are spent in this country and the constitutionality of them, is of great importance, or should be of great importance, for those with the Christian worldview, because it's part and parcel of the public policy we face, and it's is problematic for us under living under a proactive state. So, Paul, we'd like to thank you for calling in this morning and talking about these things with us. Do make sure to make a point of calling us back if you have more good information to pass on to listeners this morning.
As I learn, I'll be happy to call in with my opinions on the situation. Like I said, I enjoy you having the integrity to talk about issues that are important in these other, it seems like multi-million dollar. You know, a lot of hosts that won't even touch. You know, the government can do no wrong and pay as much as you possibly can, and they'll make everything right. But it's really the opposite.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're more than happy to cover it here on the show, and we will continue to do so as long as God permits. So, anyway, thanks again for the call.
Thank you.
Paul.
Goodbye.
And we'll talk to you again soon. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin Restaurant on Woodruff Road across from the Greenville Mall in Greenville. Visitors are welcome. That's tomorrow night, by the way, and we encourage you to go to that meeting. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Yesterday, they had another event, by the way, which I attended at lunchtime. Sometimes at the Four Seasons Restaurant in Malden on Wednesdays, Wednesdays. Wait a minute. What's today? Let me ask my producer. Is today Thursday or Wednesday? Oh, it's Thursday today. You see, I'm losing my... Having to stay up so late after the Braves game and getting to bed at 3 is taking its toll on the Tyranny Response Unit. It's this evening at 6:30 this meeting occurs. Well, on Wednesdays, like yesterday, they have occasionally a meeting at the Four Seasons in Malden. A small group of libertarians will get together. Now, yesterday's meeting was very eventful, and I thought I would mention it here on the air. The whole distinction between the pro-life libertarian wing and the other wing, which I think is a completely inconsistent libertarian wing. Nevertheless, there was one particular leader of the Libertarian Party, won't mention his name, but he was at the table arguing for a pro-death, what I call pro-death, so-called pro-abortion rights position, whereas the other five people at the table were all pro-life libertarians like myself and were arguing that particular side. So that's the kind of discussions you can get at times, if you're not just abortion but all sorts of interesting liberty-minded discussion. The problem is with the abortion issue from a libertarian point of view, and we're not using any biblical morality at all to base any kind of political decisions. It goes like this. The whole principle of libertarianism is that there be non-aggression, that there not be coercion used in any way to force any particular person to behave in a certain way. Slavery would be wrong, anything that would deny someone's liberty, and anything that takes away a person's life. Life and liberty are two fundamental rights that are inherent from God, or anyway, antecedent to the state, however one might conceive of getting these if not from God. And in addition to that, we have the right to property. So these are libertarian principles that all libertarians uphold, but many libertarians fall down flat on their face when it comes to the issue of abortion. They really blow it, in my mind. And here's how the logic goes. Here's how the logic essentially goes. I got the production staff doing cartwheels in here, jumping for joy as I mentioned this foible of many libertarians. Again, that's why I always make the distinction of being a pro-life libertarian versus the other. There is a whole group of pro-life libertarians. About 40% of those who call themselves libertarians are pro-life. You can go to L4L.org. That's libertariansforlife.org and find out more about the pro-life wing of the party. But at any rate, here's how the logic goes. There are two principles on which we can base our rights establishment and understanding in the political philosophy. One says this: all human beings equally share a right to life. It's pretty simple, right? All human beings equally share a right to life. And this is regardless of the stage of development, the age, the sex, the gender, any other characteristic, physical characteristic, or mental ability. All human beings, either by virtue of their humanness or being human beings, share a right to life. Now, it can't be much more simple than that. That is the pro-life position. That is the only authentic libertarian position, for that matter. The other position which libertarians hold, because they're inconsistent, and it's not just this position, by the way. Before I get to this punchline, Thomas Jefferson, who's my favorite American patriot in many ways, was inconsistent in this position, because he believed you could own a property right in another individual, and by doing so, saying that he could deprive a person of liberty by virtue of his race in terms of slavery. Well, it's similar with the pro-life issue, or the life issue, not just the liberty issue or liberty right and the life right, because other folks simply believe that not all human beings have equal rights. And how do you determine which human beings do not have equal rights? Well, you turn to public policy. You turn to social contract theory, and you say, well, let's determine a subset of human beings that do not have rights, and therefore a subset of human beings that do have rights. And how do we do that? Well, let's look at their age. their stage of development, some characteristic in the human being which allows us to consider him as other human beings a true person, a rights bearer, as it's called. Maybe they're economically viable, they can produce something, or maybe they can breathe on their own or feed themselves. They look for some kind of characteristic, even to physical characteristics. You listen to some liberals or liberal libertarians who will say things like, well, as long as the fontanella, that little hole in the head, is closed up, which happens around age 2 or 3 or something like that, then we can consider the human being as having rights. Otherwise, he has no rights. He's a human being that walks around much as a cow would walk around, with no rights whatsoever. So at any rate, this position would indicate that through public policy or some other social construct, rights are granted by other human beings to have rights. That makes any sense. So instead of saying everybody, because of their human beings, have rights, they say, no, we're going to look to the government to decide who has rights and when. We'll look to the philosophers of the age to find out who has rights and when. And of course, this is very debatable. Some say it's 90 days after conception. Some say it's 6 months. Some say it's right after birth. Some say it's 2 to 3 years old. Some say you can lose your rights when you get older. It's all depending on how they want to grant them or not grant them. And this is a scary thought, and this is exactly the trap that libertarians fall into, folks. And I'm telling you, it's a non-libertarian position to deny anyone the right to life. It's logically inconsistent, and not only that, for libertarians should be repugnant because it relies on the state or public policy to decide when people have the right to live, and this is absolutely anti-libertarian. So that was the discussion we had at the Four Seasons. Some of the discussions you'll be able to have if you join up a libertarian meeting tonight at 6:30 at Prime Sirloin. Hope you can be there. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen, and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us once again. We have an email that was sent to us the other day from Chuck, and this is the second email. We had one earlier in the show from Nelson, and a call today already, so lots of interaction from folks. Appreciate that. And we look forward to you. By the way, before I read this, I need to give the phone numbers again. Our phone numbers, until further notice, until the Tyranny Response Network volunteers can get over here and actually make some changes in things, are still the same, 849-0277. That's in the 864 area code, 849-0277. Or you can also call 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. And we look forward to hearing from you to talk about income taxes, abortion, all sorts of interesting things that are we're dealing with today on the Christian Worldview Show. Well, here's what Chuck has to say. He says, "Hi, John. Having recently seen the latest Star Wars episode," I saw that too, by the way, even though all that stuff is based on some kind of false religion and usually communism, because very rarely does anyone produce anything in this show. It just sort of magically appears in this centrally planned world of militarists conquering each other, a bunch of statists. Anyway, it is. I just like watching some of the special effects to some extent, but I'm not really a Star Wars, you know, enthusiast or fan. You can bring me there if my wife wants to go see it and see a movie or something. I'll go, but it's not like high on my priority list to go see it. Just wanted to clarify that. But I did go see it. So Chuck said he recently had seen the latest Star Wars episode. He says, "I was intrigued to see Stephen Yeats' column on it in the Times Examiner. I saw that yesterday, and because I was gone all day, didn't have a chance to read it yet. Wish I had before I saw the email this morning, Chuck. It's easily the most intelligent article I've seen on the subject, which doesn't surprise me. And he goes right to the best political statements made by the movie. Most of this is lost in the mainstream media. It hardly differentiates the two major parties. The only stars the media see in the political sky. As a film, I found it lacking because even though the special effects were more spectacular than ever, the characters in it were not appealing. Exceptions of Yoda, Obi-Wan, or well developed. Perhaps it had it been a mini series, we could grow to care about these guys. But as it is, I find it a bit like Cliff's Notes. Who gets worked up about the plots by reading that? Enjoying your show." Well, Chuck, I wish I could comment further on Steven's comments on or article on the show. I just have not had a chance to read it. I saw it sitting there on page 11, I believe it was, of this week's Times Examiner, but was not able to get to it yet. But I do appreciate your comments, and may well be that I'll agree 100% with you when I see it myself. I want to make a quick plug for the Times Examiner. 268-0576 is their phone number in the 864 area code. That's area code 864-268-0576. Support the Times Examiner if you can, folks, especially by getting it sent to your home every week. It's only $25 a year. It's not that expensive, obviously. $27 a year if you're out of state. If you get the Times Examiner, you're going to be getting great columnists, not only like Stephen Yeats, as was just mentioned, but yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit, on page 10 every week after your second cup of coffee. You'll be able to read some great insights from the Tyranny Response Unit's writing and my pen. This week's discussion is about the theology of public policy in historical context. Absolutely essential reading and for understanding the Christian worldview, and for all Christians who are interested in how to deal with and respond to the current situation we have with this oppressive state that we live under, this regime that's toppled the vision of the Founding Fathers. We also have great columnists like Dr. Walter Williams and Dr. Thomas Sowell, Marvin Olasky, Joe Sobrin, Charlie Reese, always writing on Southern heritage issues, many other folks in there, as well as the local upstate news from a conservative or libertarian to a pro-life libertarian viewpoint. And I think it's a great opportunity for you to get informed with what's happening in the area. The paper is always struggling, being that the liberal giant run by Gannett, its competitor, is trying to clobber it continually. If you can place an ad in the Times Examiner, we would encourage you to do so. You can call our favorite sales rep to do that, and that's David. You can reach David at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. Just ask for David when the phone rings and someone answers there, and you'll be directed right to a place where you can go ahead and place an ad in the Times Examiner. Well worth doing. I understand it's a very low price to advertise there, something like $90 an ad or something like that for a business card size ad, and you'll really help a great project by doing so, and hopefully spur your business along as well by supporting the Times Examiner. We do appreciate Bob Dill publishing all this this stuff from great columnists, and really spreading the word and helping promote the truth. Not that you're going to find all great art columnists in there, but folks, you'll find enough. Believe me, it's well worth it. Get the Times Examiner in your hands on a weekly basis. 864-268-0576 is the number to reach Bob Dill or Laverle, and sign up for that. And once again, placing an ad, call David at 864-244 6464. Always like to support our friends and people that support the Christian Worldview Show and the Tyranny Response Network, and they are certainly one of those groups. Also, make sure to go and check the tyrannyresponse.com website, because the Institute on the Constitution will be occurring once again on Monday evening at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. Make sure you get a chance to go out and hear the video series and the discussion about the Constitution. There's only 4 weeks left in that program, and we hope that you can make it out for that, for the event. Okay, well, we have a couple other things to talk about on the show here. You know, it is coming up pretty close to a break time, isn't it? I'll tell you what, we're going to jump to our bottom of the hour break now, even a couple seconds early, and we'll be back in just a minute and continue on with more great programming.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben today. We're glad that you've joined us. Here in the upstate of South Carolina, currently have some temperature in the low 70s, supposedly only going to get up to the mid-80s today. I don't believe it anymore, because as I've seen for a week straight, they've under-predicted the high temperature. It's going to be in the 90s, even though they say it's only going to be in the 80s. And you can expect thunderstorms throughout the day. Actually, with those thunderstorms, it might actually not get into the 90s. Should be some this morning, as well as in the afternoon once again. A lot of thunderstorm activity moving through the upstate of South Carolina. So be prepared as you make your way out today to go to your cubicle and be a good slave and serve the IRS or whoever else it might be you're serving these days. We bring that up because we had a lot of talk about the IRS this morning from callers. And it was a great discussion, especially for Paul, talking about the woman in following up from Jean's phone call yesterday, the woman from Charleston, the police officer who's fighting the IRS. At any rate, have a couple other good announcements and good things to discuss with you. The research staff sent in something about Booker T. Washington today, who wrote in his book, Up From Slavery, this interesting quotation: "I pity from the bottom of my heart any nation or body of people that is so unfortunate as to get entangled in the net of slavery. I have long since ceased to cherish any spirit of bitterness against the southern white people on account of their enslavement of my race. No one section of our country was wholly responsible for its introduction, and besides, it was recognized and protected for years by the general government, to which we rid ourselves of prejudice, of racial feeling, and look facts in the face. We must acknowledge that, notwithstanding the cruelty and moral wrong of slavery, the 10 million Negroes inhabiting this country, who themselves or whose ancestors went through the school of American slavery, are in a stronger and more hopeful condition materially, intellectually, morally, and religiously than is true of an equal number of black people at any other on any other portion of the globe." Now, that's interesting that Booker T. Washington would say such a thing, of course, being a black man, saying he's no longer bitter, and even though slavery was a horrible thing that the people went through, it was practiced everywhere in America, which is often not known. But his opinion, apparently, is that the black people that are here now are far better off than they would be anywhere else in the world, certainly not in Africa. Africa is a basket case, to say the least. And that's an interesting point, because although they went through much trial and tribulation being slaves here, now their grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren enjoy prosperity beyond imagination compared to others. So there has been a blessing in disguise or along the way, a hidden blessing that's materialized through a repugnant institution like slavery had been. Appreciate that comment from the research staff, bringing up a quotation from Booker T. Washington. Those are like little gems we like to find in history. The other one was, I'd love to read that Abraham Lincoln quote. I don't know if I can find that again. Someone had sent in the quotation, I believe it was Gus, maybe several months ago now, from the brass plate down at the Fort Sumter Monument in Charleston, that Abraham Lincoln talked about his view of slaves, how they were second-class citizens and need to be subjected to whites, and when either whites or blacks were going to have to get ahead, and he thought that it should be the white race. And that Lincoln was such a racist. How many people would realize that? The guy, and it's in a plaque right there in Charleston, by the federal government, no less, speaking of who would spill the beans on Lincoln, the federal government's doing so. It's right there for everyone to see plainly, this man's hypocrisy about this sort of thing. At any rate, appreciate them sending in that interesting that quotation for me. Well, we have some more interesting discussion, too, about Dr. James W. or J. excuse me, James Dobson and his just war theory. The just war theory, interesting. James Dobson, of course, many of you know, a famous neocon. I think he's a neocon. I don't know if he'd consider himself that, but he's a guy who really believes in something to do with the Republican Party. It might actually be spared in some way, might produce something good for this country. He's been promoting getting Republicans appointed to office or Republicans elected to office and appointing judges to the benches that will actually change things for the right. And actually what we found is that Republicans now dominate the judiciary, and still they love abortion, they love all sorts of things that he should find repugnant, and his plan for the last 25 years has completely backfired. But he's still, like most neocons, a true believer, a true pragmatist, not going to switch over to the third party or waste his vote. He's going to continue on with the lame system that continues to give us more death, humiliation, and mayhem in this country as we go down the path to to utter chaos, as led by the Pied Piper, especially men like George W. Bush, the horse fetish George W. Bush, who apparently has this thing for milking male horses, for whatever you can imagine that means. This is just freaky kind of stuff to even mention on the air. Even, like I said, Bill Clinton's heterosexual perversions were grotesque. They were way out there. But I'm telling you, once you compare it to bestiality, it all looks very tame. Very tame, my friends. And not that either of them are any good, obviously, but Bill Clinton was completely out there. But there's just something about the idea of George Bush with horses that just makes my stomach turn. probably does yours, too. Anyway, Laura Bush, his wife, was the one that talked about it jokingly. Apparently, she sort of enjoys reveling in the idea herself, strange woman that she is. Okay, well, anyway, here's the story that they brought up about Dr. James Dobson. A friend from Colorado, a lay minister, spends a lot of time in his spare time listening to Christian radio. He became quite upset when listening to a program from Dr. James Dobson and his focus on the family show. My friend's concern was the interference made on the show that anyone who did not support George W. Bush, anyone who did not support George W. Bush and the war in Iraq was obviously a liberal. My friend contacted Focus on the Family and received an answer that is printed below. Can you believe these guys, these neocons? Oh, good grief. We do not support George Bush's war in Iraq, and I guarantee you folks, we are anything here at Christian Worldview but liberal. Let me disabuse you of any notions to the contrary. So these guys that focus on the family obviously don't know what they're talking about. They don't know their head from the proverbial hole in the ground, as far as that I can tell, if they're going to actually say such things. We're sorry to learn that you took offense at the title and content of Terry Phillips' Citizen Link article. Left says Iraqi war unbiblical. In response to the points you made, I think it's fair to say that Mr. Phillips never meant to that anyone who disagrees with President Bush should be labeled a leftist. Instead, he was merely pointing out that the vast majority of those religious leaders who have criticized the war in Iraq do represent a liberal perspective on biblical and theological as well as social and political issues. This is as far as it goes as a matter is a matter of plain fact. Okay, so what? There's a lot of people who are liberals who oppose the war in Iraq. Doesn't mean that because you agree with the liberals on any particular point that you're a liberal. We're going to read some more about this article in just a minute, but we're going to go and jump to our quick break so we don't get off time track here. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview.
Warning.
Dr. John Coben. Oh, and I heard a warning there. There's somebody warning me about my about being on the show here. Okay, I've taken it into note here. At any rate, welcome back to Christian Worldview. We've been reading this letter from James Dobson's staff in reply to someone saying taking offense to the idea of being called a liberal or a leftist if he didn't agree with the war in Iraq with George W. Bush. And we would also be offended by James Dobson. Of course, that wouldn't be the only thing that James Dobson says that would offend us. Now, it's not to say that everything James Dobson has to say is offensive or wrong or we don't like. Simply not the case. However, it is the case on issues like this when James Dobson, the psychologist or psychobabbler or whatever you want to call these folks, have go ahead to the next level of getting involved with public policy and into areas they have no idea what they're talking about. And I think this is one of those cases. At any rate, the response, we're reading the letter of response to listeners, to a listener who was offended. They write to him, where the Iraqi conflict itself is concerned, Dr. Dobson wants it known that his feelings on the subject are intense and deeply held. That means he really thinks, he agrees with what we're about to read. He realizes that there are many American Christians who do not share his point of view. Nevertheless, his own position is that is absolutely non-negotiable, and is as an adherent of the classical Augustinian just war theory, he is convinced that this is a case where the biblical and theological justifications for our use of force are fairly obvious. Oh, really? You're hearing my comments interspersed here as I read this repugnant sort of nonsense. You may be right in asserting that the U.S. invasion of Iraq was not defensive on the strictest and most narrowly defined sense of the term. However, viewed within the larger context of the global war on terrorism, the defensive nature of America's preemptive strike against Hussein seems indisputable. As long as, I'm going to interject something here, as long as the American public and Christians in particular are duped by this kind of nonsense, we're going to make no progress whatsoever. There is no just war in Iraq. There is no holy war in an Augustinian sense that could be justifiably defensive in any way, shape, or form. This was an all-out attack against another country who had a bad dictatorial president, just as we have a bad dictatorial president here in this country, G.W. Bush, and many other nations do. It doesn't give us the right to go on an offensive strike to attack and kill and maim over 100,000 people or whatever the number. I know Richie's been on the show here, Rippin' Rich, and he's probably listening going, no, Dr. Coben, it's not 100,000, it's less than that. You don't know the actual number. I don't care if it's only 5,000 people. Why should we spend billions of dollars in tax monies to go and create a new military outpost in the Middle East and in doing so, attack and kill 5,000 people, leave a country in utter chaos and mayhem and civil war where people who were somehow surviving before are just obliterated and destroyed? This is not a just war of defense. I'm sorry, but James Dobson is absolutely off his rocker. He's sold out to the neocon perspective on this thing, is not imbibing any biblical theology or even the truth of the matter as you look at the facts. At any rate, I'll read a little bit further of his something more of his response here. He says, please don't misunderstand. Dobson Dobson doesn't like war and killing any better than you do, but he believes this may be one of those moments in history when we are forced to settle for a trade-off. That sounds pragmatic. And lives off the few and the lives of the few in exchange for the lives of the many. What kind of nonsense is... I can't even read this whole thing without getting upset, folks. I mean, is this Karl Marx warmed over or what? Yes, the ant hill is important of the world. The global justice of the ants have to be served. Let's go ahead and wipe out a few of the ants for the sake of the betterment of the remaining ants in the anthill. This is baloney, malarkey, nonsense, and poppycock. How are those for some words to describe James Dobson's feelings? It's not a just war to go wipe out a certain number of ants to promote the anthill. And this business, he says, about doesn't like war and killing any better than you do. This is maybe one of those moments in history when we are forced to settle for a trade-off. The lives of a few in exchange for the lives of the many is not a Christian worldview. James Dobson has gone over the edge. Now, no, I don't mean to be disrespectful to another Christian, a man who is obviously at least intending to serve the Christian right and those who hold the biblical truth. I don't mean to demean or undermine his character in any way, but this is so wrong. as a psychologist, let him stay in psychology. He has no idea what he's talking about when it comes to political philosophy. Neither does this guy, Timothy Masters, who's writing the letter in response, speaking for James Dobson. At any rate, let me continue on, see if I can finally read the rest of this letter without stopping and getting aggravated again. This is always tragic in the extreme, and we must face the fact that even more deaths and greater sufferings would probably have ensued if Saddam had been allowed to pursue his mad course of oppression, aggression, and self-aggrandizement. We hope this reply has helped to clarify our position for you, Mr. King. Thanks again for taking the time to get in touch. Don't hesitate to let us know if we can be of further assistance. God bless you, Mr. Timothy Masters, from Focus on the Family. You know, this nonsense again that, oh, we need to kill off 100,000 people or 50,000 or 5,000, whatever it is, because more people probably would die in the future if we didn't stop this. It's kind of like a controlled burn, you know, where you burn off a certain percentage of the brush or the forest or whatever it is to make sure the whole forest doesn't go up in blazes. It's purely nonsense. It is demagogic, language of a demagogue in order to get them the power and prestige they're really after around the world with their imperialistic conquest. There is no way in the world you can say that a lot of people are going to be killed by a nut and therefore I'm going to go off and kill a bunch of people first instead. What's the logic of this, folks? Think about it. There's a million people over there. Well, I believe that he's going to kill 10% of that million people, 100,000. I'm going to go ahead and go in and kill 10,000 or 15,000 instead. So I'll kill less than him, but it'll save those other 85,000. This is not a Christian worldview. It's nonsense. It's something that comes right away up from the regurgitations and vomit of the liberal left, and James Dobson has imbibed this vomit and is continuing to spew it out himself. This is a sad state of affairs, folks, when the leaders of the Christian church are leading people down this kind of path, and it's very upsetting and maddening. Sorry to hear James Dobson and Timothy Masters have this position. I'll try to calm down and read the response of this Mr. King to the Focus on the Family, folks. When we come back from this break, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here we are at Christian Worldview this morning, hurling with great force the neocon ideas of the so-called Christian right. Let me scroll down and see. I didn't see who actually replied to this letter, if it even says so down here. It was in fact a person, King, apparently, who had written to James Dobson. We're going to continue on with his response. James Dobson and this man who spoke for him absolutely over the edge here and in bed with the neocons or the Marxists. I'm not sure which. I mean, he may go further than the neocons with his response and somehow still thinking he's some kind of conservative. Oh, man, this kind of rhetoric is scary, folks, and it's sad that it comes from the highest levels of people who are professing Christians, and I'm sure our Christians just greatly mistaken. He says, sir, my response to Focus on the Family, sir, Mr. King sent me a copy of your response concerning what you and Dr. Dobson referred to as a just war in Iraq, and I felt compelled to respond. I did feel compelled also, like throwing paper airplanes with little tracks in them or something to James W. Dobson for him to repent. At any rate, it is my hope that you will take the points of contention against your assertions in the spirit of which they offered. I will also would also strongly suggest that both you and Dr. Dobson take a time to review the five tenets of St. Augustine's work on a just war theory. In your email, you stated, when the Iraqi conflict itself is concerned, Dr. Dobson wants it known that his feelings on the subject are intense and deeply held. He realizes there are many American Christians who do not share his point of view. Nevertheless, his own position is absolutely non-negotiable. Sir, do you mean, regardless of any facts that might be presented, Dr. Dobson will not change his mind? I think that is the meaning of non-negotiable. I question anyone who has reached a point to where facts are ignored. However, continuing on with the letter, when viewed with the within the larger context of the global war on terrorism, the defensive nature of America's preemptive strike against Hussein seems indisputable. Sir, as one who has retired for many years from military service, I can assure you it is impossible to wage war on a tactic. You cannot wage war on terrorism because you cannot define it, nor is it confined to any one enemy. Governments desire to have its citizens in fear of something that cannot be defined or defeated. This leads to continual wars and suppressions of freedom on that government's citizens. A thorough study of Nazi Germany is rife with examples. As a matter of fact, waging an aggressive war was the first indictment against the Nazis at the Nuremberg trials. It was deemed to be even more egregious than their crimes against humanity. As will further be demonstrated, there was nothing defensive about our strike against Saddam. Going back to the letter, as an adherent of the classic Augustinian just war theory, Dobson is convinced that this is a case where biblical and theological justifications for use of force are fairly obvious. And going back to the responder now, to understand your contention that this is a just war, one must examine the five essential tenets of a just war stated by St. Augustine of Hippo. Number one, just cause. War is justified only by the injustice of an aggressor. War is not justifiable ad vindicandis, offensiones, to punish someone for offending behavior, but only ad repellendis, injurias, to repel injury and aggression. When one examines the alleged injustice of the aggressor in the Iraq war, Saddam Hussein, there are a myriad of contradictions to the set of accusations as set forth by the Bush administration. It appears there were not a whole series of prevarications that led to this war. Bush is currently blaming the CIA, but regardless, he is the man in charge. It was his responsibility to check and double-check the information. Colonel Karen Kwiatkowski, a retired officer who worked in the Pentagon and Middle Eastern Affairs desk and hardly a liberal, has stated that any evidence that did not conform to the desired intelligence need to go to war with Iraq is routinely ignored. You might want to read up on this Office of Special Plans. Let me skip on down a little further because we're not going to have time to read this letter. It's too long and I want to get to most of it before the show ends. There's enough evidence out there totally debunking the claim that Saddam had ordered gassing of Kurds and a lot of other people. And this, if this contention alone about the chemical weapons and the biological weapons is justification for war, then we should prepare ourselves for attacks by other countries, Mr. Masters. Was it not the U.S. government who gassed its own citizens in a place called Waco? There could be no question about the evidence in this matter. It was a broadcast for all to see by our own media networks. President Bush said Wednesday there was no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved in the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, disputing any idea held by many Americans. Considering all of the above, it would appear the first criteria for an Augustinian just war was certainly not met. Number two, the second criteria is a right intention. The objective of the state violence must be to establish or restore a just peace. The intention must not be mere vengeance or vendetta. And there is no way that we can say there was a just peace or has been a just peace established in Iraq. Number three, comparative justice and proportionality. Parties to a conflict must limit their objectives to the relative gravity of the injury being addressed. Violence must not pass a point where it exceeds an injustice. The original injury occurred. Well, this one is a doozy with the evidence of the tortures that took place at Abu Ghraib prison and elsewhere. We certainly have not met the requirements of this tenet, and it would be all well to notice that the most egregious photos and acts that were perpetuated on the Iraqis have been kept from the American public by the government of this countries. Estimates vary as to the guilt of many of those being detained in Iraq. One former soldier told me that the majority of those being detained are for driving while Iraqi. Would you believe for a moment they actually cared about having a democracy when they did not care about your life? Seems we have failed miserably at tenet number three. Well, unfortunately, we've come towards the end of the show here. Still tenets number four and five I could read. It would make a great show opener, I think, for tomorrow's show. Appreciate this person taking on James Dobson and refuting his pagan view or non-Christian worldview, his neocon and even neo-Marxian worldview that he's adopted. And how sad it is when our leaders of the Christian church are so addicted to the nonsense of the left that we have to end up with this sort of malarkey being thrust upon us about this just war business and support of the war in Iraq. Well, I hope you've had a great day, and it's been a good show this morning on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've listened. Look forward to talking with you again tomorrow, hearing your phone calls and emails. Until then, we wish you God's blessings.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.